Well, again, I want to extend a warm welcome to you, and it's a pleasure to welcome you, and we are delighted that you've come to spend this special morning with us. This is Resurrection Sunday, and we're delighted that you're here, not because we can say at the end of the service, say, oh, you know, we had a well-attended service. We had a well-run church service. That's not why we do this. What is infinitely more important to us is that you folks are given the opportunity, and that includes myself, given the opportunity to interact with the divine. We want you to engage with the personal God of the universe. And we do that through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, through the reading of His Word, through singing of hymns and songs and praying. These are the things we do because the church wants to create a space where we can come in and meet the holy God and the loving God, compassionate God. And if as a church body, the people who belong to this church, if we can somehow facilitate this activity on some basic level, then our time this morning is not in vain. It's a very important time. And I want you to know that. And that is the prayer for all of you folks from me. What would really make us happy, and I include myself again, is that through attending this church service, really you would discover the Lord afresh in your life. And you will be reminded again of how much God loves you, how much He forgives you, how much He wants to guide and bless your life and give you a hope and a future that is far beyond anything better than this world can offer. We live in a world that is very full of excitement and adventure, isn't it? We put that on our calendars. We plan our vacations and we think, oh, let's go and explore this place or let's have this adventure. But in this earthly life, those adventures, they're temporary. Lots of times are even superficial. Think about all the times when people gather together at large football stadiums or basketball arenas, and they enjoy that 2 or 3 hours. And you might high-five the neighbor in the fan next to you, or you might give them a scowl if they're from the other team. But those times are superficial. They're like a flash in the pan. And sometimes when we leave the stadium and we leave those events, we are left dissatisfied, wondering, is there really a greater purpose for us than just those activities? Perhaps what's important for us to learn is that as we navigate the world that we live in, we don't want to become so enthralled with the temporary that we overlook the more important thing of the eternal. It's easy to ignore that stuff and brush that aside. Another important thing to keep in mind is that the good folks here at FCC are genuinely concerned about your spiritual health. We're here because we've personally experienced the benefits of joining together with like-minded individuals who, despite our weaknesses and our faults, and our challenges, and our doubts, we are truly desirous of serving and seeking and honoring the Lord Jesus. Okay? And I'm not saying that's easy by any stretch of the imagination, but that's what God calls us to, and that's what we desire to do, and so we try our hardest. Now, we don't want to try by our own human fleshly ways, but we want to try by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so, if you're new here today, I invite you to go with us on this ride. A ride that is full of all sorts of stuff, okay? Sometimes it's mountain peak experiences, sometimes it's down in the valleys of death. We walk with one another through very sad and trying times in people's lives. We're called to do that. Sometimes we just go through the mundane stuff of life. Stuff that, you know, I really don't want to be here. I don't want to be pulling weeds. I don't want to be, you know, mowing the lawn, that sort of stuff. That's mundane. And yet God calls us to that as well. So He calls us to the great high adventures. He calls us to walk through the valleys and through the mundane stuff. And sometimes he calls us to walk through the bitter disappointment of life, not only in our own personal lives, but in the lives of other people. But here's one thing it is never full of, and that is regret. Okay? We never regret wanting to follow the Lord. It's the best choice. As a matter of fact, it's really the only choice in life. To do anything else but to follow the Lord, well, it's just not going to be, it's not going to be what your heart's desire is. Following the one true God of the Bible, it's always the best choice. Well, those are my opening remarks, okay? I'm just getting warmed up here, okay? Now let's get to the main topic of my message, and that is magnets. I want to talk about magnets this morning. I'm pretty sure you all know what magnets are, don't you? You probably got a whole bunch of them on your refrigerator at home. They hold up calendars and photos and maybe drawings that your grandchildren and your children made. But you ever stop and think about what makes a magnet a magnet? What makes a magnet actually work? Okay, we can all go home now. No. What exactly makes a magnet stick to certain materials when not to others? Why do they attract or repel each other depending on their orientation? And what on earth would magnets have to do with God and Resurrection Sunday? Well, let's talk about the basics for a second. And that means we're going to have to go back to a long time ago when you're in elementary school. Well, for some of you, elementary school, you're in process, right? So, but for others, we had to think way back. And anyway, according to one general science article I read, and I've known about magnets a long time, a magnet is any material or object that produces or generates a magnetic field. Okay? Well, that statement is good. It really actually makes us ask more questions than it gives us answers here, doesn't it? We might decide to ask, what is a magnetic field? What causes a magnetic field? Well, without going too far down the rabbit hole, which we could do real quickly in this topic, let's just say that for a moment that a magnetic field is an area around a magnet where a magnetic force can be detected. So think about this is space around a magnet. You probably have a magnet. When I was a boy, I grew up on a Wisconsin dairy farm, okay? Sometimes we had to put magnets in the stomachs of cows because they may have accidentally eaten a piece of metal or something, and that could be really bad for the cow. So we put another piece of metal in the cow to attract that metal. So the magnetic field is a space around a magnet. So far, so good? Now, I'm trying to make this really simple for people because as soon as I get too complicated, I start confusing myself. I don't want to do that, okay? So a magnetic field is a space around a magnet. And do you know what causes the magnetic field? It's the movement of electrical charges. Which leads us to another question. And that is, what particle do you know or can you think of from your time way back in elementary science that could be an excellent candidate to meet this criteria of a tiny but fast-moving particle with electrical charge? Anybody know what that could be called from your science class? Anybody? Oh, I heard something. What? Electron. That's right. So basically, atoms and electrons. You know the nucleus of an atom is protons and neutrons. You have these electrons. They're small, itsy-bitsy. You know, you can't even see them, okay? It's actually part of the electron theory. But anyway, they are moving around the nucleus of an atom. Now, I don't know if you detected this, but I kind of did a subtle shift here, and that is, first I talked about magnets and magnetism, then I talked about electricity in electrons. Now, I didn't do that to confuse you, but I wanted to tell you that magnetism and electricity are close cousins, okay? They're like two sides of the same coin, okay? They're very closely related. In fact, and this is for the kids here, you could actually go make a magnet at home, kids, okay? You could take a nail or some metal object, wrap some conducting material, like a thin wire around it, hook it to a battery, and then you just made an electromagnet. Okay, kids? So I want you to do that when you get home. But first, ask your parents, okay? Parents, you can thank me later for this project, because I know you'll be like, where am I going to find a battery and all this stuff? Pastor Bill did that to me. Okay. So there you go. There's my presentation on magnets. Did you like that? Was that good?
Well, guess what? I'm not done yet, okay? So
here's my next question. You might have already thought about this. If magnetic fields are made simply by electrons orbiting around a nucleus of an atom, or lots of nuclei of atoms, then does that mean I'm one big magnet? Aren't I a big magnet? I mean, I'm full of billions and trillions of atoms. All the material's made up of atoms, right? We all have electrons going around them. Doesn't that mean we're all magnets?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
I'm grounded. Oh, yes, I'm grounded. Yes, I'm still sticking to the earth. You know, the earth is a big magnet. Did you know that? You guys are so smart. But why is that tree not a magnet? Why is that pew? Why don't I take two pieces of wood and stick, and why don't they attract it? Well, I won't get into that. But they're not like pulled together. I can't take my hand. Let's say there's a pile of iron filings, and I stick my hand out there, and I put my hand over it. Those iron filings they're not going to all of a sudden attach to my hand, are they? And yet I have all these electrons in me. I have all these atoms that make me up. Here's what I want to say about that. While it is true that every little atom in our bodies acts like itsy bitsy little tiny magnets because of the movement of electrons going around their atoms, and they create their own little magnetic field, these magnetic fields are oriented in all sorts of random patterns and fashions and directions. And in a sense, what they do is they cancel each other out. They're all random. These little magnetic fields that they make, they're canceling each other out because they are not aligned, and therefore they are not working together. This is basic science that I'm still learning, okay?
Okay.
But if all these electrons, now let's say we take all these atoms and all these electrons, or at least most of them in an object, and somehow we could orientate them so that they're all moving in the same direction, guess what? Presto, all of a sudden we have a magnet. And if each atom's magnetic field would join the forces with a neighboring atom's magnetic field, thus multiplying the magnetic field many times over, we'd create even a bigger magnet. If we could somehow get all those little atoms and electrons to line up, face the same direction. There, now you have a better understanding of magnets. Wasn't that wonderful? But guess what? I'm not done yet. We're just getting to the good part. And here's the good part. I have yet to mention something called magnetic domains. You probably never heard of that before. I never really heard of that before. Magnetic domains. These are microscopic regions in the magnetic material itself, which are part of the physical structure of a magnetic material, like iron and cobalt and nickel. Those are magnetic material. Each magnetic domain is a self-contained magnet with a north and a south pole. Because when you think of magnets, we think of a north and south pole, right? So if these domains are pointing in opposite directions, they cancel each other out. We do not have a magnetic field. But if these domains are facing the same direction, then we have our magnet. Hooray! Aren't you excited about all the stuff you learned about magnets this morning? You think I'm done? No, not even close. So I mentioned magnets and magnetic fields and electrons and domains this morning for one basic reason, and that is I want to pose a question to you. Why is it so hard to follow and be faithful to God? It's all going to come back to magnets here. I promise. Why, what can we do better to follow God? Why is it so difficult to follow God? We're Christians, we want to follow God, and every day we mess up. It's just the fact of life, isn't it?
And I could say, well, we could get theological here. Well, it's the fall of man, and Adam ate the apple, and they were kicked out of the garden, and then the Lord cursed the land, and all that stuff. We could do that. That's true. It's in the Bible.
But hear me out for a second. And I'm not trying to send anybody on a guilt trip this morning. I'm not trying to say, no, tisk, 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 you know, you're messing up. We all know, if we're honest with ourselves, we struggle following God and being faithful to Him. It's a plain and simple truth. I mean, after all, if we were truly following God, if we were truly loving God with all our hearts and our minds and our soul and our strength, would we be experiencing lots of the things that we experience? Would we be experiencing things like depression and anxiety and fear and jealousy and discontentment and purposelessness and the list goes on, restlessness, dissatisfaction, boredom, all these things that seem to bombard us from every side on a daily basis? And when they do, we start doing things to try to fend that off. If we were following God the way God wants us to follow Him, would we have all those issues in our lives? I think not. On the other hand, if we were having a close and loving relationship with God, might we experience a lot more stuff like joy and peace, contentment and love and that sort of thing? And purpose and meaning and fulfillment. Isn't this the stuff God wants us to experience in life? I believe that's the truth. I have come to give them life and so they can have it to the full, Jesus says. So why don't we? It's simple, really. Our domains are not all orientated in the same direction. These domains, now in the magnets, are called magnetic domains, but in our lives, these domains are supposed to be attracted and pointing to an irresistible, loving, compassionate, understanding God. It's supposed to be pointing to Him. Instead, these domains are random. They're all spread out. They're being pulled this way and that way. They are not oriented to God. They're pointing toward things that promise us lots of good things, like satisfaction and prosperity and fulfillment. But guess what? Those things, they don't deliver on their promise. Oh, they might superficially, for a while, temporarily, for a short time, they will, but they are fleeting friends to us. Not that they are necessarily bad friends, but they are friends that cannot deliver what only God can deliver. Not only what God can deliver, what He has delivered, what He promises still to deliver in the future. You see, the sad thing, and here's usually when we think of Easter Sunday, we always want to be happy and filled with joy and, you know, kind of walk out of the church, you know, a foot higher than when we came in. But the sad thing about Easter Sunday is that when this service is done, and when you go home and have your Easter Sunday brunch or your lunch, for many of us, nothing will have ever changed. We will go back and we'll do the same things we did before. We will engage in the same activities that only led to darkness and hopelessness and futility and despair. And the thing is, we'll think nothing of it. We'll think nothing. We'll just, that's life. I went to church. I come home, now let's get back to life as I know it. But maybe, just maybe, a few of us will stop and ask why. Why do I keep going back to the things that bring me harm? And maybe you will ask these questions. And you'll think about my message today about magnets. And you'll be reminded that our domains, our little tiny magnets, they're not all lined up. They're not all facing God. They're not facing the Lord. So they're not attracted to God, which they should be, because the Bible says that we are made in God's image. and that God set eternity in the hearts of men. So we should, as human beings who are made in the image of God and by God, we should want to somehow seek Him and know Him. But we're not sticking to God. We're not sticking to God like a magnet. Instead, we're kind of like the thistle seed blowing in the hurricane. We're like the tiny cork tossed about on the sea of confusion and desperation. We've got no anchor. So let's go ahead and get our domains straightened out today. Let's see if we can have them face in the direction of the Lord. But you might ask the question, how do I do that? I don't know how to do that. As a matter of fact, that's why I'm here today. I'm trying to figure out, how do I do this? How do I get in connection with God? It's actually quite simple, really. And at the same time, it's very difficult. My father-in-law wants to make sure I, you know, get the name out of Jesus. And I will. Be patient. Be patient. I got you. It's quite simple. It's going to take some humility and trust on our part. And these things are hard to come by because humility and trust means we have to expose ourselves to the truth of the Bible. The truth found in Scripture. The Scripture is the truth, but people typically do not read the Scripture anymore. We'd much rather turn on the radio and listen to the latest contemporary Christian song, which may be very void of any kind of theology. It might have some gushy stuff in there to make you feel warm and fuzzy. We must not only... Instead, what do? Instead of reading the Scriptures, we're home on our phones trying to figure out the next meme we can use to roast our neighbor or send a funny joke to them to somehow get them through the day. We must read the Scriptures. We must submit to the Scriptures. But we don't like to do that because it hurts us where we don't want to be hurt. It hurts our pride. It hurts our sense of invincibility. It may even hurt our life goals. We don't want God directing our lives. This is why our little magnets, tiny magnets, and these little magnet domains are all messed up. We don't want God directing our lives. We want to direct our own life without any interference from any outside force, whether that be the government, whether that be God, whether that be something else. And if this is what we want, this is what we will get. We will get a life void of God and His blessings. And we will get confusion, and we will get desperation, and we will get a life full of anxiety and fear. But the Bible says it doesn't have to be that way. Jesus can change all that in a heartbeat. He says to us, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and full of anxiety, and full of fear, and full of confusion, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me." We don't just turn on a switch and all of a sudden we're this holy, sanctified Christian. It's a process. But we have to learn. It's a learning process. And that can be painful. Jesus says, "I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The yoke He puts on us is easy and light because He did all the heavy lifting. He opened the way for us to be in relationship with Him. He died on the cross. He became alive again, had victory over the grave. He did all the heavy lifting. His yoke was unbearable. The only person who could ever have taken that on was God Himself. Jesus said this just hours before He went to the cross. He said, "When I am lifted up, I will draw all men to myself." He's like a magnet. But are our tiny little magnets, are they pointing to Him? Do not ignore the pull and the tug you may feel on your heart today urging you once again to follow the Savior. Maybe you're saying to yourself this morning, you know, I've tried all that before. I went up to the altar before. I gave my life to Christ. I did all that stuff when I was a teenager. Maybe you're even younger than that. Maybe you're older. I don't know when. Everybody's got a different testimony. But then you say, it just didn't take. I tried it, but I just fell away and you found yourself drifting away from God. Don't despair. Don't give up. Maybe what happened to you in that moment is that you relied too much on your strength and you did not realize that it was God's strength that saved. You don't save yourself, God's strength. And all you have to do is have the faith. So whether you've been away from God for 10 months, maybe you've been away from God for 10 years, doing all sorts of crazy stuff, I don't want to hear about, okay? He has never left your side. And all that time, He never leaves your side. Remember what the verse was we started. There, a man of many companions. You know, I got a bunch of teenagers. One of our major talks was, you know, friends, this friend did that friend didn't do this, I don't have any friends, all this stuff. Friends are overrated to some degree because right here it says, a man of many companions still may come to ruin. I mean, I like friends, don't get me wrong. I love it when the fire alarm goes off and the friends come rushing to put out the fire. Okay, I love it when I can call up somebody and say, hey, you know, I have a flat tire. Would you mind coming over? Or my radiator's leaking and I don't have any, you know, I can't get my car home or whatever. All sorts of things can happen. And we rely on our friends. Don't get me wrong, I'm not trying at all to diminish friendship. Friendship's very important. But in the end, there is someone who sticks closer to a friend who sticks closer to you than even a brother. And of course, you know who that is. That's the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. See, I got you, Alan. I told you I was coming. And His name is Jesus. And He's alive, and that's why we're here celebrating. And He defeated death, and He forgives us of our sins, just like it says, I come to forgive sins. And right now, He's in heaven, right now, praying for us, and He's preparing a place for us. You know, they say, my son and I were talking about this the other day, you know, when you hear the thunder, that's God moving furniture, right? Or bowling or something like that. You ever hear that one? Well, we're trying to figure out, well, what is God doing when there's lightning? Yeah, that's a good question. What's God doing when it's lightning? He says, and we decided that God was up there welding our place, getting ready for us. He's preparing a place for us so we can be with Him forever and ever. And in the meantime, while He's up there welding, we're down here, hopefully by the power of the Holy Spirit, getting our domains in line, building up our magnetic field, which is pointing to God and Jesus. And He will do that. There was an analogy I had. It was in my mind, and then I forgot, but it just came into me. Thank God. Okay. You know, I don't want to diminish the idea of disciplines, okay? Disciplines are important. Think of disciplines as the sail on the sailing boat, okay? And your motor's shot, okay? Your motor's not working. So you have to put up the sail so the Holy Spirit, the wind can catch the sail and make it move. That's the disciplines in our life. And we need those. And so while we're here, while God is preparing a place for us, we are following Him. We're doing those things that sometimes are mundane, things like reading our Bible, maybe going to church, maybe serving your neighbor. Those are all disciplines, but that helps us set sail. And hopefully when you're on that sailing boat, you have a good compass. You know, compass runs by magnets, right? Could there be any better good news than that this morning? Than to know that God has a plan for you? That God, not only that God has a plan, He's going to fulfill it for us through the power of His Holy Spirit. That's the news. I was going to say from Lake Wobegon there, but I'm not going to. And it's our news, and it's our reality, and it's our life that we can have this Easter Sunday. All we have to do is believe it.